this Torah portion really started me out on my Thursday night Bible study going into the Brit Hadishah, because it was exactly like it said in Hebrews, and like it says, he lived. They all lived faithful to the Father. They lived faithful lives by example, their ups and their downs. And now here we see a bunch of them dying and going to sleep, going to rest in place, and telling them to carry the baton. Like Brother Herman said the other night, he said they passed them on to their children and said, hey, follow these commandments, follow these laws. You know, and like I was saying on Thursday night also, you know, I was on the boat the other day going out and, you know, reading all these Torah portions and all these scriptures and just thinking in my mind about different things. And the Lord reminded me, I told a bunch of you already, the Lord reminded me back one time when a pastor talked about what it's like in reality, knowing the truth now, rather, instead of going to heaven when you die, it's like time stops, you know nothing, and it's like going under anesthesia. And I remember a time when I was in Houma during Hurricane Katrina, I had to get, I had a deviated septum in my nose, and I had to get it corrected. And so when I went there, there was this doctor, he happened to be a Baptist, and he says, before I sedate all my patients, I pray with them. So he grabbed my hand, he prayed with me, and he said, you know, and it's all going to come out good, and just count backwards from 10, and you're going to wake. And that's how it was. You know, I counted backwards from 10, 9, and then I opened my eyes, and my face was all cold. I don't remember anything. And so everybody that dies, there's no woe is me, what they thinking, what they seeing, if they're looking down upon us from heaven and all that made up stuff. They just sleep, like they talked about. They all slept. And when I was on the boat, I just started weeping, because he said, it was like almost like an audible, he said, that's just how it's going to be. If you follow my instructions and do what I'm telling you, Chad, when you close your eyes, it's going to be like you close them and open them, and you're going to be there. It's not going to be this long period of waiting like you think about. Like David, he's been dead for thousands of years, but he doesn't even know it. It's going to be like the day whenever they buried him and he opens his eyes. Time doesn't exist anymore for them. So that encouraged me. I just started weeping. I can't wait for that moment. And it encourages you not to be afraid of death. Don't be afraid of it. Some are closer to death with cancers going on right now than those of us that are much older and living a long, long time right now. And so I just thought about those things, going through reading into the Torah portion and going into Hebrews, all those guys that lived the life of faith. And then tonight, I was looking at, in just the Torah portion, and in each one of these events, they're all telling them as they're dying, Jacob and Joseph and David, this is, you have to follow these things. You have to do this. This is what he did for me, and this is what he's going to do for you, but you got to follow these instructions. And so I'm going to start off back here on Genesis 47, 48. 48 verse 15. And he blessed Joseph and said, the Elohim before whom my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, he's telling them, my fathers and Isaac walked, the Elohim who has been my shepherd. That's who he followed. He followed Elohim. My shepherd all my life long to this day. And this is time for his departure. And this is what he's telling him. He's not telling him about, oh, you got to take care of this and you got to bring this over there. His main focus was Elohim. Do what he says. Do what my forefathers, our forefathers followed. The angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the boys, and in them let my name be carried on, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac. And then you go on down to verse 21. Then Israel said to Joseph, behold, I am about to die, but Elohim will be with you and will bring you again to the land of your forefathers, of your fathers. So see what his focus is? His focus is on in the future to come. We're going to have this land again, right? numbers and the chapters are so small on here to see. I want to lead you in the right spot. Chapter 50, verse 15. The reaction of Joseph's brothers here, when Jacob's dying, caught my attention. Me and Brother Herm was talking about it Sunday before we even got into it. He said, "Boy, you read it really quick. You get into it already. We ain't even just finishing Sunday yet." I can't wait to turn the page. I can't. I just can't wait, because when I turn the page and I read, I'm going to be focusing on what's going on in my life. Because remember, this just put us into a spot of seeing where we are. We're in the pit in the prison right now. We're going through some things. You know, I was stopping right there for a second. I was listening to this Jewish guy talking about some things. And it was about David and Goliath. And it was talking about how Goliath taunted them for 40 days. And he said 40 days was significant in the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, Yeshua was tempted for 40 days. But there was a great outcome after the temptation if you followed the laws, if you did what he said to do. He overcome Goliath. And he was a champion because of not his own strength and power, but to the strength, he won the battle through Yahweh. And so Yeshua, he won the battle through Satan, Hasatan, through the word of Yahweh. But I thought about that, because he said 40 days is very significant. They were all tested for 40 days. They wasn't judged for 40 days, but they was tested and they was tried for a purpose and for a reason. And we're reading there also about, you know, how we all have hearts of stone. To break up those hearts of stone, have a heart of flesh, we go through those tests to find out where it is, to break off that little thing. And if we don't break it off, we're just going to keep going through it and going through it and going through it until righteousness is found rather than unrighteousness. So in here, verse 15, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin, because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgression of the servants of Elohim, your father." And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for I am in the place of Elohim." He says, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of Elohim? As for you, you meant evil against me, but Elohim meant it for good, to bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. So he had the power to pay him back. He really did. But his focus on wasn't himself. It was his focus was on his strength and his might and his power, and everything comes from Yahweh. And I surely can't do to you what I feel in my heart and my thoughts, but I got to do what my father tells me to do. So he followed the instructions of the father. So Joseph proved again that he himself wasn't in charge. Yahweh was in charge. He did only what he was instructed by the father. That's what his whole focus was. You know, Messiah ben Joseph, and the Messiah, you know, Joseph and Yahweh, same thing. But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of Elohim?" No. He says, "I just do what he says." And so, you know, being in the pit, in the prison, and even him being in this situation right here, again, we got to be light and salt, right? Salt and light in every situation. Put that into practice. It's in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. You know, that helps a lot too. Like Sister Linda was saying, like my wife was saying, when people tell you things and ugly things, got to be light and salt in those situations. It's not an easy thing, because in your mind, you want to pay back. You want to get angry. Because we're going to read that a little bit in the New Testament in the Brit Hadishah about the flesh profits nothing. We war and battle against our own flesh. What wars against our soul. It battles against our soul. But we've got to keep practicing righteousness to override those things. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. 13 through 16. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and give it light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And so we take this and think about it. We was all raised in church being called, if we get born again, Christian. You know, I've been kind of getting off of that a little bit. You know, I've been thinking about, okay, I'm grafted in. And if I'm grafted in, what am I grafted into? I'm grafted into a Hebrew culture, an Israelite. What is Hebrew and culture and what do Israelites do? They do what the Father does. They do what Yahweh does. And so we're supposed to be light and salt. And if we're not that, we're thrown away and talk because we're not being what we're grafted in to be. We're supposed to be grafted in, taken from the water and the roots of what we're grafted into, and that's supposed to be Elohim. It's supposed to be our Father. It's supposed to be from those kind of works. But if we keep doing the other things, never practice those, it's no good for nothing. And what do you want to be calling yourself a Christian for if you're not being an Israelite or even trying to be that? That would be like me saying I'm a charter guide, but I've never went out there and really attempted to even try. I'm a charter guy. I've never seen you on the water. I'm a taxidermist. Where's your birds? I've never done one. But I'm a taxidermist. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. Where's your works? Why are you flaunting around with all them girls over there? If you're doing that and having sex with them, aren't you supposed to be married? That doesn't make any sense to me. That's no good. Salt, light, Israelite, right? That's supposed to be. Why in here you put on a smile, but over there you cuss like a sailor? I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. But I do this and I do that. Israelite. Okay. We got to make sense here with this. Are you not? Or are you? Or are you not? Today, I'm happy and loving in church. But tomorrow, somebody said, don't tell me that. I hate you. You are this. Or you are that. I'm like, what is that? You know? And I'm guilty for it sometimes. I get home, I'm tired in the afternoon, and I'm trying, I'm saying to myself, hey, we're going to do this. And all of a sudden, you hit one wrong turn, one wrong button, I'm like, oh, gosh, there I go again. Letting the flesh override my soul, there's the war again. Father, a million times, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. Cast me not away from your presence, oh Lord. And it takes a little while, because you love that presence. And when you're not feeling it, and you're feeling that guilt and shame, it takes a little while. Because there ain't nothing worse in my life. I don't know about yours. But in my life, there's nothing worse than when I know I'm not in His presence. It's an ucky, horrible, horrible feeling. Because you already know when you're going to make your next move on the job, or you're going to go somewhere, you already know you're not being guided. You're on your own again. Like, here we go. I got to think, and my thoughts are tainted. I might make a wrong move. So I'm like, oh, okay, I'm not going nowhere. I made a mistake. I can't go without you. I need your voice. See, it arrests you. It stops you dry. Because once you're used to being led by His presence, and you know you're going to hit it just right, and you know you get those rewards, and they come, and things happen, and then you go on your own road, and all of a sudden you make the wrong mistake, you stop, and you just don't want to move forward. Right? So, salt and light. No matter what situation we're in, we'll be salt and light. It helps us to be more what we're supposed to be. And it's also going to be a light for someone else to see what it is to really be a son or daughter of Yahweh, of God. And then a little bit down further in the Torah here, verse 24. And Joseph said to his brothers, I'm about to die, but Elohim will visit you and bring you up out of this land to the land that he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob. See, he's talking about the father again. Then Joseph made the sons of Israel swear, saying, Elohim will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Now, 1 Kings chapter 2. When I went here and started reading in this, it automatically brought me back to the battles that David won. All the things that David went through, and every one of them was won with the Father. It gave him strength and power to win every one of those battles. And so, before I read in 1 Kings here in the Torah portion, I wanted to read over one famous verse of Scripture here, but it's still there plain as day. And it was just like Joseph said, you know, that I'm not in charge here. The Father's in charge. You know, if he was in charge, he probably, you know, maybe, I don't know, it doesn't say that. He might have wanted to kill him. He might have been upset with him in his heart. I don't know, but he followed the Father's rules and did what he said. But in here, another time, 1 Samuel chapter 17. First Samuel 17:45-47. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, with a spear, with a shield, but I come to you in the name of Yahweh of hosts, the Elohim of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will Yahweh deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is an Elohim in Israel. And that was an open display. I was looking at something on the internet today, and it showed that valley, and it showed an open road. And right there was that big plain where they had that battle. Right there. That Philistine going in there day after day. And that little dude comes out there and says this. The battle is his, not mine. And that's what Pastor said. We got to let him win the battle. When we get in that spot, say, hey. And the Father say, hey, I'll take care of that. Remember when Pastor said that the other day? That meant a lot to me, and I think about that a lot. Just quit with your plans. It doesn't make any sense to you. Nobody's before you. Nobody's behind you. You're not going to get more. You're not going to get less. The Father's in charge. Go with his plan. And when you do that, he says, okay, I got this. And you're going to see something incredible happen. You don't know how. You don't know where. You don't know why. You don't question him. You just do what he says. And it all comes through the pit, the prison. I'm sure that went through Joseph's mind over and over and over for days, years, months. In that prison. And then one day he's all shabby, full of hair. Bring him up here. Shave him, clean him. There he is. Moving on up. Doing what the Father says. That's all you got to do is do what the Father says. Don't ask no questions. Don't get all upset and mad. Just do what he says. And so reading about all these guys, they're dying. They're going to sleep. And leaving a legacy behind. The Father's word. Obeying his commandments and his laws. And so in 1 Kings chapter 2, 1 through 12, when David's time to die drew near, he commanded Solomon his son, saying, I'm about to go the way of all the earth. Be strong and show yourself a man and keep the charge of Yahweh, your Elohim, walking in his ways, keeping his statutes, his commandments, his rules, his testimonies, and as is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn, that Yahweh may establish his word that he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons pay close attention to their way, to walk before me in faithfulness with all their heart, with all their soul, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. And he said that too in Psalms in different places. Love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. We find our weakest points when we're not putting that into effect. Most of all of our weaknesses is when we're doing what we want, what we like, our way, pleasure. Pastor said that too. I remember that. Self-pleasure is our worstest enemy. We all want to be pleased, and we all get caught up in this world and things now, this, and not focusing on a millennial. So they all left an incredible legacy behind, all the words of the Father, all truth, not tainted, to follow through, and you do what he says, and you shall be blessed. And then I had two more scriptures I was led to go to, and that was left for us in the Brit Hadishah, 2 Thessalonians. I read this one in Bible study, and I just feel led to read it again. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. One through 17. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Master Yeshua Messiah, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled neither by spirit. You know, this is the apostles talking. They're dead. They're sleeping. They left us something behind. Here they are talking, Messiah's coming. That ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Messiah is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, himself who opposed and exalted himself above all that is called Elohim, or that is worshipped, so that he, as Elohim, sitteth in the temple of Elohim, showing himself that he is Elohim. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what was holded, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Master shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause Elohim shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be judged who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to Elohim for you, brethren, beloved of the Master, because Elohim had from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our good news to the obtaining of the glory of our Master, Yeshua Messiah. Therefore, brethren, here it is. This verse 15 right here. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. There's theirs to us. You see, there it is. David gave them. Joseph gave them. Jacob gave them. Then they led it to them. Then they given it to us. And here we are today. This is what we read, the letters that were given to us. It says, now our Master Yeshua Messiah himself and Yahweh, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work, word and work, word and work. And then the main one I was talking about earlier about the flesh, 1 Peter chapter 2. You know, I think about this word and us taking care of our flesh, overriding it with the Word of God and putting it into practice, kind of like, I remember the first times that I was told rather be charter fishing or going out on an airboat for the first time. I was told, do this, do it like this. Don't do this, don't do that. Do it this way, that way, follow this. And it's so much to remember. And you're out there on the job the first day, and you're trying to put all this in memory so you don't want to make the mistakes. You want to be careful. I remember this boy just a couple of weeks ago, Sprague Eustace's boy. He's growing up, he's in college, and now his daddy's trying to show him how to run that airboat. And he come into the docks pretty fast the other day, and his daddy's hollering, ah, nah, nah, this way, nah. Boom, he hits the dock, and he's all upset with himself because he hit the dock. It was his first time, so I took him out there the next time, and I let him practice on a little cane patch that was in the canal, and, you know, before we got, and it was in the past before we got back to the dock. And I let him try against that cane patch two or three times till he got it right on the money. I said, now take that and do that when you get to the dock. That's all you got to do. What you just did, do that at the dock. When we got in there, practiced it. He put it into practice. When we get up in the morning, we thank the Father for the breath. He's practicing his word. It's something we do. We get on a job. Okay, I got to be light and salt. I got to be light and salt. You get out there, you have a confrontation with somebody, light and salt. Remember, you're fearful of the Father, right? You want to do this right. It's the same thing. It's no different. It's not come to church, get this word, and then go back home and do your everyday work. We got to put this into practice. It's not that somebody else has got something more than somebody else. Somebody's putting it into practice. That's the only difference. We got to keep putting it into practice. So here it is right here. In 1 Peter chapter 2, start with verse 9. Every time I read this, I think about Sister Gloria. I don't know how many times she did this with the children. A little bit above this. But anyways, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past you were not a people, but now the people of Elohim, which had not obtained mercy. We had none. No mercy. We're done. Dead. Never coming back. But now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and as pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. You see it? It's right there. We think about that. We're going through those tough times. And we're making our mistakes. We're getting angry and things ain't working out and making mistakes. Oh, this flesh. It wars against your soul. Father, help me with your word. Strengthen me. Give me power and strength to override this flesh. Because we all got it. I know you do. I got it. Everybody's got it. But we're going to win this battle. We're going to keep working on it. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify Elohim in that day of visitation. The way we acting and talking and everyday walk, life, every day. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for Yahweh's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them were sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. And if you do the studies on this, this isn't talking about our government. There's a different government. This is Yahweh's government. This is his heavenly hosts. This is not the government here. Our government's evil. I don't even want to talk about our government. Verse 15, for so is the will of Elohim, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. When you read this, you're thinking about Joseph. All the stuff he did through the whole thing, it's right here. It talks about it. But as the servants of Elohim, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear Elohim, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the forward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for the conscience towards Elohim endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable to Elohim. People do you wrong, you just take it and you love them, that's acceptable to Elohim. People do you wrong, you do them right back, it's not acceptable to Elohim. It's back doing the things the world does. It's back doing the things when we're Gentiles before we're grafted in. For even here unto were ye called, because Messiah also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. So we've got to pay attention and listen to the spirit of our bishop and our shepherd, Yeshua. Because he made it through all these things. If anybody had a tough time, Joseph, Yeshua had a tough time, and he made it through them all. So that's about all I have that I've gotten out of the Torah. Anybody have anything else that they like to share out of the Torah? Well, this was an incredible teaching, and it's really helped me a lot. And I got to have some times with people I hadn't gotten to have times with in a long time. So it's getting better and better and better. Now, for those who don't choose to go on this route, it's probably going to get bitter and bitter and more bitter. And it's going to be everybody's fault but mine. All right? So that's it. Let's remember Brother Daniel again and all the other brothers and sisters out there, and each other, lifting each other up. Wake up in the morning, because everybody's going to be faced with the same thing. Thank you, Father. Just give you the praise and all the glory and all the honor for your Torah, for your prophets, for your Brit Hadishah, all the legacy that they left behind, the testimonies for us to live by. We just thank you so much, Yeshua, for guiding us in all your truth, giving us strength and power, all the sick being healed. We just all come together in unity and lift them up to you, Father, tonight in the name of Yeshua. And we give you all the praise and glory. Amen.